chapter 551 of the government code. We're going to start off by going back to agenda item G for a discussion of and possible vote to recommend that the finance commission take action on the selection of an internal auditor for the finance commission agencies for fiscal year 2019. Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the selection of an internal auditor for the Finance Commission? I know.
No.
That is not my screen.
We said that out loud.
All right. Well, I didn't,
it's my fault.
Never mind. We, after consideration and a lot of thought, we're recommending that we select McConnell and Jones LLP. Do I get a motion for that selection?
So moved.
All right, Vince, is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Say aye. Any opposed? The ayes have it and the motion passes. One thing I would like to make comment is we are very appreciative of the professionalism that Garza and Gonzalez has afforded the various agencies. They have done a good job. We just felt that it was time for a change. So no reflection on Garza and Gonzalez. I just want to make that clear. Okay, yep. Next we're going to go to agenda item L, and we're going to discuss the budget. Discussion of impossible vote to recommend that the Finance Commission take action on the agency's fiscal year 2019 operating budgets. And we're going to start with the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending.
Thank you. I have a few opening comments to make, and then Antonio Antoff will present the specifics of the budget. The SML proposed budget was developed following our policies and taking into account our mission and our priorities for fiscal year 19. Each of the directors, each of the directors of the various divisions had input into the budget, particularly with regard to their own areas, but also in general what they saw coming up in the next fiscal year. The budget provides for an 8.3% increase in revenue and 1.7% decrease in expenditures when compared to the budget approved for this fiscal year. The proposed budget provides for an FTE count of 60, which is one less than approved for this year. And at the end of fiscal year 19, we expect to have a deficit of $392,000, which will be covered by cash reserves. And so I'll ask Antonia to present in more detail.
Good morning, Antonia Antoff, Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending.
Because the fans are so loud, you're gonna put the mics right by your face.
Okay.
And maybe talk a little
your face
louder.
Right by the mic, either way.
Talk loud.
Well, it keeps returning.
Theoretically correct.
All right. The budgeted amount for licensing revenues is 9% lower than the prior year budget. In fiscal year 2019, we're discounting our new and renewal mortgage banker and mortgage servicer registration fees between 13% and 14%. The fee for a new residential mortgage loan originator license is discounted 25% from $200 to $150. And the fee for a renewal of the same license is discounted 14% from $70 to $60. Our license fees remain some of the lowest in the country. In fiscal year 2019, we have budgeted to waive 50% of the fourth quarter thrift assessment. We expect growth in some of the markets that our savings banks operate in, resulting in asset size growth. The collected thrift revenues will be sufficient to cover the total cost of this industry's regulation. In fiscal year 19, we have budgeted $0 for penalties so that no part of our operating budget hinges on the amount of assessed and collected penalties. All of our funds are held in safekeeping trust and deposit overnight and repurchase agreements. We have budgeted for an increase in the depository interest over prior year budgeted amounts based on actual amounts received during fiscal year 18. Now on to the expenditures. Our salaries and wages category represents 67% of the total expenditure budget. Amounts budgeted for salaries and other personnel costs are 3.7% lower than the budget for last year due to reducing our FTE size by one and staggered hiring of new employees throughout the year. The budget provides for merit increases and promotions for multiple employees in an effort to reward good performance, remain competitive with state and federal counterparts, and encourage staff retention. The stability of our staff benefits the industry in both retained knowledge of departmental statutes, rules, and procedures, and also specific regulated entities and their management. The budgeted amount for other personnel costs is 81% or $161,000 more than prior's budget because it includes amounts for retention bonuses for many of the staff as an incentive to remain with the agency. We are budgeting 12% less for travel expenditures than prior's budget based on lower actual expenditures for fiscal year 2018. The amount budgeted for professional fees and services is 29% lower than prior's budget because it excludes one-time $60,000 fee that we paid to Sunset Commission for the Sunset Review that we went through during fiscal year 18. It also includes decreases of legal fees paid to State Office of Administrative Hearings and Attorney General's Office, and increased amounts for IT consulting fees, which will be necessary for our transition to virtual servers, as well as small increases for internal audit and training services. The department's other operating expenditures have been budgeted at 8.1% or $30,000 less than last year. This expenditure category is very broad and includes multiple lines of operating expenditures. During fiscal year 18, we had significant outlays for an operating system upgrade for all employees and scheduled replacement of computers. This year, we have budgeted for scheduled replacement of fewer computers and other equipment and no large software purchases. The fiscal year 19 employee benefits are decreasing 1.1% in line with the 3.7% decrease in payroll costs. In conclusion, the department has received letters from the Independent Bankers Association of Texas and the Texas Bankers Association, from the Texas Mortgage Banker Association and the Association of Texas Mortgage Professionals expressing their support of our fiscal year 19 proposed budget. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Anybody have any questions? Good. Great presentation. Thank you. Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner.
Okay. And if Christina wants to join us at the table, she'll pick up in a few minutes, but I want to make some opening remarks about our budget. So the document is found on page 190 of the material, and the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner is respectfully presenting its proposed budget of $9,638,438 for fiscal year 19. Budget request is for 91 FTEs, which is consistent with the authorized level of employees for fiscal year 18. The proposed budget amounts to an overall 2.45% increase over the budget in FY 18, but is still lower than the approved budget for FY 17. Key budget drivers for our proposed budget continue to be industry market adjustments, staffing stability, examination travel requirements, and our IT and cybersecurity needs. I want to speak a few moments about industry market adjustments and some of the assumptions that we have used to produce this budget. Key industries under the purview of the OCCC have continued to show dynamic changes, including a fair amount of turnover within individual industries. However, the overall numbers, while they continue to show modest growth, there's still quite a bit of change of additions and reductions in those numbers. The fiscal year 19 budget is based upon an overall conservatively estimated continued growth rate of the licensed market participants of approximately 4%, that's of the business entities. That's generally consistent with the economic expansion trends that we've seen and overall economic outlook for growth in the state of Texas, as well as it's consistent with our recent experience. So we expect that to continue. Our modeling on the proposed budget supports a performance target of 4,200 and compliance examinations, which is the same level of examinations that we projected for the current fiscal year and that we'll be able to meet. So we would continue that. But it also contemplates the extended use of our training resources, as we'll be adding a large examiner class before the end of the fiscal year, continued targeted enterprise level examinations, and we are projecting a realignment of our regional work distribution and how that it might impact our overall production. There will be some drag on production as we initially get through this realignment and we go through all the training that's required, but we still expect to be able to hit the 4,200 compliance examinations. As to the effect on the industry, I wanted to speak a moment about the assessments for each of our respective areas. The budget does anticipate discounts from the maximum assessment rates for several of the market segments. We've evaluated the revenue projections for each of these market segments in relationship to the resource requirement for each particular group. We want to make sure that each group is paying their fair share. And so we've looked at how does it fairly allocate those resources along the segments. And that's the reason why we've made a few adjustments in some of the discount rates. And so I'll share with you what some of those are. For the regulated loan license, their maximum assessment, the fixed part of their assessment would be $600 annually. The proposed budget provides a 30% discount off of that maximum for 420. Previous years that had been 510, but again, this is part of the fair share adjustments we were making. Pawn shop licenses, their maximum would have been $625. The proposed amount is $525. It's a 16% adjustment, which was exactly the same as it was in fiscal year 18, so that's really no change there. The motor vehicle sales finance, there's two different groups, but I'll talk about the license locations. Their maximum fixed amount is $460. The proposed amount would be $385, which is a 16.3% discount. Their fee amount in fiscal year 18 was $345, so that's a little bit of an increase. But in 17, it was $391, so it's sort of in between those. But again, this is due to the fair share allocation that we really looked at trying to be sure that each group was paying their respective allotments.
How are those maximum amounts determined?
Well, they're set in rule, and they were set by rule in 2009, 2010. We went through some adjustments, and there was a period of time. Other groups, like property tax lenders and credit access businesses, have stayed at those maximum amounts because of the amount necessary to fund those respective areas. So there was some analysis done at that time. But since that time, we've either had growth in particular areas or reasons we've been able to offer some reductions.
And so the statute must say not to exceed this amount.
Well, the rule says that, not to exceed.
Right.
Yeah. So that's. Okay, so everybody else is consistent as they have been for some time. I want to speak again a moment about the staffing stability. We want to make sure, of course, that our proposed budget provides the resources that are necessary to implement the staffing plan that enables us to meet these expected workload and performance targets and attempts to optimize our examination coverage at a level that focuses on improving compliance through efficiencies and through targeted risk profiling. Our salaries and associated potential benefits in the proposal amount to 81% of our total budget, with examination travel primarily comprising an additional 9% of our budget, for a total of 90% just for those two categories. The proposed salary budget continues to fund our examiner career ladder. There's at least nine planned promotions in here, as well as other competitive actions that we will use. Designed for retention and increased tenure, and to make sure that, again, we maintain a competitive structure for our staff. At this point, I'd like to turn it over to Christina to talk about the IT issues, the IT request, and other items.
Thank you. Christina Quare-Hoke, Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. The proposed budget for IT breaks down to 86% of the funding is for maintenance, operations, and communications. Specifically, that includes maintenance for the cloud-based regulatory platform, ALEX, and also funding for one project to refine annual reporting and additional enhancements to information technology security. 14% of the proposed budget is for cybersecurity, some of which is allocated to the new contract for managed security services through DIR. Further key items in the expenditure budget include travel expenditures for non-out-of-state examination travel, which is approximately $860,000. This estimate is an 8% increase over the budget from fiscal year 18. This increase is necessary in order to make a fairly significant investment in training the large class of new examiners, as well as establishing an extension of our East Texas region to include West Texas with two FTEs to be based in El Paso. We expect to gain efficiencies on future years after the investment in travel and training costs in fiscal year 19. Professional fees are estimated at $243,000, which is a decrease of 39% over the fiscal year 18 budget amount, as there are two items budgeted for the last cycle that are not continued. One was the cost for sunset review of $55,000, and the other was an imaging project that was deferred. Other operating expenses are budgeted at $538,000, which is about a 5.5% increase over the actual fiscal year 18 expenditures. Larger items within the classification include online payment fees and IT maintenance costs, both of which have been increasing. Benefits are estimated at approximately $2 million, which is an increase of 2.9% over the budgeted amount for fiscal year 18. Projected amount is forecasted based upon an estimated personnel cost and benefit factor of 30%, anticipated health insurance premium increase of 0.5% for fiscal year 19, and retiree insurance cost of $240,000. Capital expenditures consist primarily of computers and information technology hardware that are part of the agency regular replacement schedule. The budget proposes a deficit of revenues over expenditures deliberately to cover some projected spending from reserved funds. The agency anticipates 6.2 months of liquidity for operating expenses at the end of fiscal year 18. Please note that at the end of third quarter fiscal year 18, the liquidity level for operating expenses was 5.3 months.
I'd be happy to answer any questions. We do have letters of support from the various trade organizations. You have copies of those at your place. And we appreciate the support of the trade associations as it relates to our budget.
Any questions? Thanks for listening. Good job. All right, next we have the Department of Banking.
Yes, ours begins on page 191, and Sammy, if you want to come up, because he's going to help me. But first of all, I want to express Commissioner Cooper can't be here today, and he wanted me to apologize for that. He thinks the budget is extremely important and had really thought he was going to be able to make it, but it just didn't work out. But he wanted me to tell you that he really is sorry that he could not make this to present the budget himself. And then secondly, I want to apologize for the air or the lack of air. When we got here this morning at 6 or 6:15-ish, it was out. We called the air conditioner company immediately. They have come, and it's not the air conditioning unit, it's the air handling system. So now we are trying to get the air handling system company to get here as quickly as possible. But so I apologize, it was not done to try to make the meeting faster than yesterday, I assure you. But I'll just apologize, and please take off your jackets, take off your ties.
Stop there, though.
It's a test of your commitment today.
Yeah, it's not a race to see who can keep them on.
Can we all wave at Charles, who's I'm sure is watching?
Yes. We miss you. Okay, the department's budget's on page 191. Our budget was created using historical, current, and forecasted information. We looked at and used the strategic planning initiatives, as well as our priorities that we developed for 2019 that are in this packet, and the performance measures that we set for 2019. Another big area that we look at is to make sure that every industry can cover its own cost. This budget is based on the department conducting 886 examinations, processing 272 applications, notices, and filings, and resolving 400 complaints. Our 2019 budget has revenues projected at $28.9 million. This does not include $2.6 million in bank assessments and $132,000 in special audit assessments that are not necessary for this budget cycle. So what I'm saying is we did not even put them in the budget. We're not even starting using the full assessment. We've discounted the assessments already. The assessment reduction will cover our expected cost of $28.9 million without adding anything to our cash balance in FY 2019. Assessments alone account for 88% of our revenues. Our revenue estimates included the following assumptions. No real bank growth in our assets. corporate activity increasing by double digits due to more filings, trust income remaining constant, foreign bank assessments remaining constant, special audits assessments remaining constant, and a growth in the interest earnings at our funds that are held at the state treasury. We're required by Texas Administrative Code 3.36A to make a determination if the assessment streams for banks can cover the budget. I can say yes, we have done that test, and it does, because we are actually forgiving 2.6% of the 2.6 million of the assumption of the assessments. Our budget for expenditures is slightly higher than what we budgeted in 2018. I think it's 0.71 or 0.72, something like that. And salaries is the major expenditure category, and it accounts for the largest dollar increase in our budget. Total salaries are estimated at 18.8 million and benefits at 5.7 million, accounting for 85% of our budget request. Our staffing remains at 190, but personnel costs are going up from a variety of factors. First, for 2019, we are changing our staffing strategy. Throughout 2018 and really 2017, we had anywhere from 10 to 15 examiner vacancies. And we really tried to focus on hiring experienced examiners, and we have had limited success with that. So we are going back to hiring new folks and training them ourselves. So our budget proposal includes 9 new hires at the FE1 level and only 6 at the experience level. I'm happy to report that we hired 7 examiners in August under our new staffing model. And so we were well on our way to filling those vacancies. So that actually decreases the budget, because the lower salary, FE1, is substantially lower than an FE7. Decrease the budget, but that is offset by the following increases. We have 50 career ladder promotions in our FE1 through FE6 series. We have 19 promotions, 5 equity adjustments, and a 2% cost of living increase for our administrative staff. We also reviewed our salaries and compared our salaries to the FDIC. One of our strategic goals and one of our priorities is for the examiners to remain within 95% of the FDIC. In 2018, their average increase was 3.4%. For us in our budget, our average increases are 2 to 4%. It makes our FE1s through FE6 remain at 95% of the FDIC, and our FE7s through the directors anywhere from 75 to 85%. So we'd lose no ground with this request. Our starting salary for a new examiner, and I said this wrong at our budget hearing on Monday, so the new guys were like, wait, we don't make that much. Our new starting salary is $55,332. I said $55,650 on Monday, so I apologize for that. We believe that with these salary increases, we can retain our staff, we can remain competitive, we can help postpone some retirement, so we train these 7 new people that we have, and that our less tenured people really see the Department of Banking as a lifelong career choice. Today, 63% of our financial examiners are commissioned. Our strategic goal is 67%. The other salary adjustment includes 8 lump sum payments that we have indication that people have said that they are going to retire in 2019. Some of those were in the 18 budget, and they've deferred one more year, so we sort of had a little overlap in that. Travel is estimated at $2.2 million, and that's 8% of our budget. Travel actually goes down. We have seen the benefits of our off-site monitoring, that we're doing some procedures off-site. And also, it's just the exam cycle itself for out-of-state. Doing an MSB exam in New York City is much more expensive than doing an MSB exam in Oklahoma. So it's just the cycle for the out-of-state travel. And now I'm going to turn it over to Sammy to go over the other expenditure items.
Good morning. Sammy Chadley, Department of Banking. I'm going to start with professional services. It shows an increase of $78,000. That's basically a combination of ins and outs, deletions and additions. On the deletion side, 2018 had the sunset fee and DOB conference speakers for a total of about $127,000. That's not included. And the additions, we have an investigator that was reclassed from other operating. Basically, we were classifying that investigator's expenditures as other contracted services, which is another category, other operating. and the comptroller recommended that we classify those expenditures as professional services. In addition to the investigator, we have a customized financial examiner cybersecurity training, DIR, Department of Information Resources contractor to evaluate our IT area, and the outsourcing of financial literacy efforts. Under consumable supplies, we have a decrease in 2019 as compared to 2018. In 2018, we had 83 new computers that were replaced as compared to six for this year in this year's budget. And we do have a four-year replacement cycle for computers. Also in 2018, we had two new cubes at headquarters that needed to be built. Under telephone, the telephone category has the largest increase of approximately 24%. And that's basically due to largely to required increased data speed and bandwidth at headquarters and all regional offices. That would help with our upload speeds for our DEX. It's a document exchange system that examiners use, and also that would allow for more efficient offsite procedure work. Also, we have the new state phone systems that were installed at headquarters and the four regional offices. Basically, that's a VoIP system. And also, we have, so those phones have a monthly charge now, which we didn't have before. And lastly, we have to pay for a telecon for a legislative system during session. That's about $3,000. Under other operating category, that category appears to decrease, but the 2018 budget had the expense for the investigator that I mentioned. So without that item, the category increases approximately $37,000 or 11%. That increase is due to a software maintenance for our Office 365 that was purchased in 2018. In 2018, there were no maintenance fees, but now we have to pay for those maintenance fees in 2019, about $29,000. Also, we have expenditures for a trooper for Finance Commission meetings, CSBS accreditation fee, and CSBS dues. Under claims, that category basically is the State Office of Risk Management's assessment for workers' comp. They do yearly assessment. And as far as we know, there are no known unemployment claims for that are due in 2019. Capital budget for 2019 increases and includes servers for the four regional offices and for network storage. And then we have some below-the-line items that are state-mandated expenditures. The first one is the benefits. We have budgeted 28.7% of salaries in this proposals for benefits. And then there's an additional 1.5% for additional healthcare contribution that's mandated by the state also. And then the last expense category is the statewide cost allocation plan. It's basically a bill received from the comptroller for use of state services. It's SWICAP, SWCAP. And then lastly, when we talk about the cash position, this year we forgave $3.8 million in assessments as we tried to manage our cash balance growth to a minimal amount for 2018 as compared to 2017. Our anticipated unreserved cash balance at fiscal year end 2018 is $9 million or 3.8 months of the 2019 budget. The 2019 budget keeps this unreserved cash balance at the same level. And I'll turn it back to Stephanie.
Thank you. With this budget, the agency can carry out its mission, meet our performance measures, maintain a competitive salary structure, and meet our own standard of service. The agency received two letters of support that are in your packet, one from the Independent Bankers Association and one from the Texas Bankers Association. I also want to remind everyone that for all three agencies, we published the budgets on our website on August the 1st. We had the public hearing on August the 13th, and the Department of Banking received no comments on the budget. And lastly, I just want to thank Krishna Jones and Sammy Chedley of our office for doing the lion's share of the work on the budget. I feel like we give birth every year when we finish the budget. It is a very long process, and there are many people involved, and we take it very, very seriously. Thank you.
Any comments on the banking department's budget?
I've got one. It's actually a curiosity question. You recycle your PCs before your bases?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with your own PCs?
Those are basically, we hand them down. or we have a surplus. There's a surplus program.
You have to first offer them any other state agency that wants them. And so, like, we have a supply right now that we put them out there, and I think it's a 10-day that someone else can come get them, and then if they don't want them, then you send them to the surplus store, the state surplus.
TDCJ has first dibs on them. They're the ones who like to get those first, yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
If no other questions, we have a couple witness registration cards I have here, and Celeste, if you would like to come up and address the commission, that'd be great.
Good morning. My name is Celeste Embry. I am the Deputy General Counsel of the Texas Bankers Association. I am here to speak in support of the budgets of the Department of Banking and the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending. I believe in front of you, you have letters from our CEO, Chris Furlow, expressing our support. I just want to make sure that I'm here to reiterate it. We believe that the self-directed, semi-independent nature of these agencies has enabled them to be very flexible with their budget dollars. They are very good stewards of our members' assessments, and we enjoy working with them, and we look forward to continuing to do so. I'm happy to answer any questions. I just wanted to be here and express our support. Briefly.
Yeah. Appreciate
thank you.
It. Thank you. Steve Skrlak.
Thank you, Chairman Molly. I'm Steve Skrlak. I'm with Independent Bankers Association, and the nice thing to do would be to say what Celeste said, but very quickly, we do want to be here to support the banking department, the savings and mortgage lending department. Absolutely nothing against the OCCC. Our industries do not fund your agency, so therefore we're kind of staying out of that. You guys have been remarkably responsive and professional, Leslie, and thank you. It's been a great ride for a long time, actually. We also have reviewed the budgets as posted. There's additional information that we looked at from both agencies. And I had the pleasure of hearing basically the same thing I heard this morning earlier this week, which was very well done. And I did catch that little
$200
mistake there, Stephanie. The budgets are very reasonable. They're effectively flat. Actually, SML shows a slight decrease in expenditures, which is indicative to us that these agencies are very good stewards of the monies that the industry provides for the regulation of those industries. We have to have well-funded regulatory agencies. This is a very dynamic financial services industry that we live in. The ability to be flexible and to react or to get in front of issues that are coming up is tremendously important. I will also reiterate Celeste's comments. SDSI has been a blessing on so many levels. We are enthusiastically supportive of that. I take every possible opportunity on the record to express our absolute support of SDSI for these finance commission agencies. We do very much understand what you guys do, the important work the finance commission does, as well as the agencies under your purview. We appreciate the relationship that we have with both the commission and all three agencies. And further, we really appreciate the transparency of this budget process and our ability to provide input. And I may be messing up, but I'm gonna take a point of personal privilege to recognize my friend Bob Bacon at his last, and I know y'all are gonna probably do something, but we hired Bob Bacon back in 1988, Bob, is that right?
Right.
And just to show you how SDSI, when you don't have SDSI, what happens, and I won't take long, I promise. I can't even hear my amplified voice, so it's really not even doing that. When I came back to the banking department in 1987, we had five people on staff that had 5 years or more experience. And those of you who probably remember, some of you have read about the fact that there were some pretty significant issues with the Texas financial services industry back in the 80s. Bacon brought some experience. He brought some boldness, I guess. I got a few calls saying, please don't let him come back into my office ever again. But I just want to recognize a good friend and congrats on your retirement. I'd be happy to attempt to answer any questions, and thank you for your time.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Okay, before we go into the motion, I just want to thank all the agencies for the hard work that they did with the budget. It definitely, a lot of conversations, a lot of work went into them, so we appreciate it. And with that, do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's fiscal year 2019 operating budgets? Lori, second?
Second.
Vince. Vince, second. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. There being no further business, this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas is now adjourned. The time is 8:36.